Thanks, Jeremy. He spent all his time editing that part down so that he could get it to the amount of time, and he's even timed how long it takes me on average to get from down there to up here. I appreciate the effort, Jeremy. Hey, welcome, everybody. Glad to see you. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are out there and out there online, wherever you are in the world. We have people all over the world watching our stream right now, especially Tanzania. Our congregation, Pastor Epaphras, welcome to all you guys out there. I'm not even going to try like Kayla does to even do the basic greeting in Swahili. I can't do that, but glad that you guys are with us. Again, happy Father's Day. I'm going to talk before we get into the message just a little bit about fathers. Fathers and father figures, whether you're a stepdad or a stand-in dad or a grandfather, wherever you are, is such a critical part of family today. It always has been from the beginning of time. It's been designed to be that way. But have you ever noticed how in, I want to say modern media, but it's been going on for quite a while, anytime that you see a father portrayed, especially in commercials, let's just talk about commercials because you'll see it right away. The fathers, if they're portrayed at all in a commercial, they're usually some kind of a joke, right? They're buffoons, they're weak, they're helpless, they're relying on their strong wife to be the one who keeps the family together, and dads are just glad to be here, and that's pretty much the extent of how dads are portrayed. That's not an accident. That is intentional. The reason it's intentional is because, as designed by God, the father figure is supposed to be a reflection of Father God's love for us and the attributes of his character and how a strong father guides his family and cares for his family and nurtures his family and does all those things, and Satan hates that. He hates that role, and so everything that can be done to demean the role of a father and minimize that it's demonic at its base. It's not accidental. Watch commercials closely when you see them today. Rarely is it that you'll see a father depicted in a strong and godly way. It's very, very rare. Solomon, all the way back in Proverbs, when King Solomon wrote this proverb, Proverbs 3, 11 and 12, he said, "My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his rebuke. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, just as a father disciplines the child in whom he delights." Discipline, though, is not the only role of a father, especially of a godly father. If a godly father is a spiritual leader of the home, he's a role model for what a loving marriage looks like. Marriage is another institution that's constantly under attack. He's a role model of how to live with strength and integrity, but also with meekness and humility. That's what a godly father does. He's the provider, the protector, a mentor, and so many more. And I found a video that we've actually already played it. How many of you know that church begins at 10 o'clock? Because at 10 a.m., I don't want to push too much, but at 10 a.m., there were four of us here. And they witnessed this video that I very carefully and lovingly picked out as a tribute to fathers. So guess what? We're going to show it again. Check out this video.
Thank you. This one is for the fathers and all the father figures, stepfathers, grandfathers, godfathers. Whether by blood or by choice, we give voice to our gratitude for the fathers, the heroes, the mentors and anchors, the coaches and counselors, teachers and trainers, the men who shape us and show us the definition of faithful and strong and wise. The fathers, always by our side, with us and for us, steady and courageous, ready to inspire and encourage and give us a word of wisdom, a voice of reason in season and out. There is no doubt where their strength comes from, what their hope is set on, who their eyes are fixed on. The fathers, the embodiment of legacy, humility, integrity, needed and necessary, dependable and trustworthy. The fathers, the men who lead and love and believe in us even when we don't. The fathers, the men who nurture and point us toward purpose, almost bigger than life, but always down to earth. The fathers, the men who give guidance, direction, and keep everything in perspective, making room for us to grow. We may never know the prayers, the tears, the sacrifices that fathers make on our behalf, yet still find time to play and laugh and rejoice in the day that the Lord has made. The fathers, the heroes, we honor you today.
Would you pray with me as we lift up our fathers? Lord God, just as you entrusted your son Jesus to the care of Joseph, an earthly father, I pray that you bless all fathers and give those standing in that role as they care for their families your blessing. Give them strength and wisdom, tenderness and patience. Support them in the work they do, protecting those who look to them as we look to you for protection, for love, for salvation through Jesus Christ, our rock and our defender. We praise you in his name. Amen. All right. So with that, we're going to continue in our series on prayer. We're in the second week. Last week, if you missed it and you're interested, you can always go back either to our website, discovercommunity.church, or we have a YouTube channel. You can go there, wherever you can find it. Go back and check out the last message, or the first message last week, where we kind of laid out the importance of prayer, the reason that we pray. So many people are like, if God knows what I want anyway, why do I pray? We answered that question. So if you've ever asked that to yourself, go back and check that one out. Today, though, we're going to start going through the different types of prayer, because prayer is not all made the same. There are different prayers for different reasons. Some are very targeted. Some are a little bit more broad. We're supposed to pray all the time, constantly, without ceasing, Scripture says. So if you're looking for topics to pray on, like, I'm just flat out of things to pray. First of all, if you're out of things to pray, then hallelujah, because we all have things we need to be praying for constantly. But today we're going to talk about prayers of adoration. Prayers of adoration are interesting in that they're not asking for anything. Remember I said prayer, for the most part, prayer is you're asking for God to do something that is beyond our human capability, or you're thanking him and praising him for having done that thing for you. So often it's about we need something, we want something, and we're asking him to provide it and then thanking him for providing it. Prayers of adoration are a little bit different, and we're going to talk about that as we go into this more. The finest example of prayer ever known, and I can say that with confidence because Jesus did it, and he said very clearly, this then is how you should pray. Anybody ever heard that one? I know it's an obscure scripture. Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. Pray this with me. I put it up here so that we can pray this together, okay? Jesus said, pray this then in this way. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And most versions finish it up with, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. If you have the KJV version, your Bible's going to have that at the end. It's called a doxology, and I really like it. Most everybody, even if they don't know that, will say that part at the end anyhow. It's a great way to finish it. But this prayer is considered perfect, not only because Jesus was the one praying it, but because it contains all of the elements that a good prayer should contain. Now, a simple prayer can be just, Lord, help. That's all it has to be, Lord, help. Or I love you, Jesus, or anything like that. It can be anything that flows from your heart. But if we're talking about prayer in the context of a series on prayer, we're going to talk about some of the elements of what a really good and directed prayer is. Remember, prayer is just simply talking to God. So you talk to God as you would your own dad or your friend. You're just laying out your heart, right? It doesn't have to be complicated. So hear my heart in this out there online. Hear my heart. I am not trying to make this complicated. Like, here's how you do it. And if you're missing one of these elements, go back and do it again. It's not that. We're just pouring our heart out to God. That's what prayer is. But here are some ways where we can be a little more thoughtful sometimes about the way that we do it. When we talk about the perfect prayer, called the Lord's Prayer from Matthew, it contains all the elements, and there's an acronym, it's called ACTS, if you've ever heard it, A-C-T-S. I talked about it last week, so this is kind of a recap if you're here last week. All of the elements that you want in a really good directed prayer. Number one, the A is for adoration, right? And that's what we're going to talk about today, praising God for who he is, just for who he is. The second one, the C, is confession. That's acknowledging how we have failed and the places that we've failed, whether it's a sin in our hearts or whether we have just failed to love him and praise him and obey his word. A lot of times people just say, Lord, it's been forever since I've prayed. That's an example. Thanksgiving is the letter T, giving thanks to God for the many ways that he is gracious and loving and faithful to us. And then the last one, supplication, which is just a fancy word for, this is me bringing my request to you. This is what I need. I need courage. I need help. I need provision, whatever the thing that you need is. And then throughout this series, so those are the four basic breakouts, but then beyond that, it even goes even further. I found essentially eight topics of prayer that we're going to talk about through this series, right? So this is the first one, and some of them won't be just a whole week. We'll double them up. But there's adoration, there's lament, there's, which many psalms are prayers of lament, there's thanksgiving, and then there's petition or supplication. This is what I need. And kind of a subset of that is healing prayer. We're going to talk about that. There's deliverance prayers, prayers of contrition, prayers of guidance. And then there's corporate prayers, where we all pray together. So those are kind of the breakouts, and there's many, many more, of course. It's not a rule or anything. But prayers of adoration that we're going to talk about today, I think are very, very underutilized. We don't often do that. We're quite typically praying for things that we need. Lord, help me with this. Or, Lord, thank you for that. Those comprise probably 90% of our prayers. And that's what comes at us. That's what comes at us all day long. So it's right, but we don't often just simply pray praise, thanking him for who he is, thanking him for loving us. It's entirely dedicated to acknowledging his greatness and his mercy. That's what prayers of adoration are. Lord, you are incredible. You created the entire heavens and earth and the universe and everything in it, and yet you still care about me. Lord, I praise you for that. That's what a prayer of adoration is. It's different than thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is praising him for things that he has provided, whether it's safety or support or a room or provision or anything like that. Praising God is more than just a nicety, more than just, hey, it'd be nice. It's more than like you would compliment a chef on a great meal. Hey, well done. Two thumbs up, God. Five stars. It's much more than that. Praising him goes far, far deeper than that. And on top of that, God commands that we do it, which raises a lot of questions, right? God commands that we praise him. Anybody here? I remember before I gave my heart to the Lord, when I would hear people say, God commands us to praise him, or some different version of that, I was like, how badly does he need us to pump up his ego? Anybody ever think that? Anybody ever have somebody ask them that question about God? How much does God need us to pump up his ego where he says, praise me continually? There's more to it than that. Like anything in Scripture, if you read it or you have this thought in your mind like, that doesn't sound like the character of a God that I should worship, we need to have a better understanding of it. So let that be just a giant red flag that comes up. If you're ever seeing or being asked something like that, or you've got something in your heart like, why does God do this or do that? It's because we don't have enough of an understanding of it. And that's what I hope to kind of remedy as we go through this. So many scriptures command us to praise him. Psalm 9, verse 11 says, sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people. That's just saying, sing praises to him and tell everybody what he's done. That's what praise is. You're not asking him for anything. You're just saying, look at all the things that he has done. Isaiah 12, verses 5 and 6. Praise the Lord in song, for he has done glorious things. Did you pay attention to the lyrics of the songs that were sung this morning? It's all about praising God for being a good father. Praise the Lord in song, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Rejoice and shout for joy, you inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Psalms are full of praise. Psalm 98, 4 through 6 says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Be cheerful and sing for joy and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody. A lyre is an instrument, right? With trumpets and the sound of the horn, shout joyfully before the King, the Lord. Psalm 138, 4 through 5, 4 and 5. I'm not going to read all of them that mention praise, by the way. You're welcome. All the kings of the earth will give thanks to you, Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth, and they will sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. It's all very pointed. And then Hebrews, the series that we just got done going through chapter by chapter, Hebrews 13, 15. After all this instruction of all the great wisdom and everything in there, it finishes up with this. Through him then, let's continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips praising his name. We are commanded to do it. Anytime you hear the word hallelujah, whether it's in a song at Christmas or we're singing it here or anybody says, sometimes we just flippantly throw out hallelujah. We just do that. And I did it a few minutes ago. Anytime you hear the word hallelujah, it's a praise. The word means, I praise you, Lord. The times in Scripture where we see the word hallelujah used is in Revelation. Revelation, after the war between good and evil, after all of the things that have been going on, all of the tribulations, everything going on, Revelation 19:1, after these things, I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation, glory, and power belong to our God. And then a little bit later in verse 6, then I heard something like a voice of a great multitude, like the sound of many waters and the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Can you imagine hearing it sounds like it's so loud coming from heaven that it sounds like thunder, but you can recognize what they're saying, and it's saying, hallelujah, the Lord God Almighty reigns. Can you even imagine what that scene would feel like? It's all, these last two verses all take place in heaven. And they're in the immediate presence of God himself. They're at the precluding, right before the wedding supper of the Lamb. The enemies of God have been overthrown. Satan has been overthrown, and the people are rejoicing. And what comes out of their heart is hallelujah. It's no accident. The book of Psalms has a lot of lament prayers in it. The book of Psalms is almost entirely, if you read, it's just prayer after prayer. And there's a lot of lament in there. There's a lot of help me. I need help from my enemies. But there's no mistaking the fact that the final psalm, the last psalm in the book of Psalms, is one of praise. So what I want you to do, those of you who brought a Bible, open it up. If you didn't bring a Bible, church is a great place to bring a Bible. If you're looking for a place like, I've got this great Bible, how do I ever get it out of the house? Bring it here. Psalm 150. Go to Psalm 150. We're going to read verses, we're going to pray verses 1 through 6 together. Okay, and if you don't have your Bible, that's fine. If you pull it up on an app, that's fine. I won't mind if you're looking at your app or share one next to me. I was going to put it on the screen, but I want us just to pray it from our heart. Okay, so if you don't have your Bible with you, just listen to the words. Psalm 150, this is verses 1 through 6. Okay, Psalm 150, 1 through 6. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty expanse. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with harp and lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with stringed instruments and flute. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Everything that has breath shall praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. To that I would add, amen. So any of you who think that worship music doesn't belong in church, just refer you back to that. That is the most incredible way to wrap up a collection of prayers. Again, Book of Psalms contains all of them. It contains lament, adoration, and supplication, and all of the parts of prayer, but it ends on this. Just, Lord, we praise you, everything that has breath shall praise the Lord. At its most basic, going all the way back, at its most basic, a prayer of adoration is the attitude of a man acknowledging that he is nothing more than a creature kneeling before his creator. When it all boils down to it, all of our grandiose ideas of who we are and our place in the world and all this, we are a created being, created by a creator who loves us. And when we praise him, we are simply kneeling before the one who created us and saying thank you. If you're still struggling with the idea, and this is a major part of this message today, I found C.S. Lewis is not only one of my favorite authors, but he is a quote machine. Whenever I'm looking for, like, I need something to help put this into words, this idea, C.S. Lewis always comes through for me. C.S. Lewis, and he's got a book called Reflections on the Psalms. He's got a lot of really great books, but if you've read that one, this one might be familiar to you. But in this section that I'm about to read for you, and I'm just going to read it all the way through. I won't put it on the screen because it's too long. He's actually questioning, not in this, but this is his answer to the fact that he had been questioning, isn't God kind of a narcissist for insisting that we praise him constantly, for needing our praise so badly that he has to command it all the time? C.S. Lewis actually had those thoughts. And then he's praying about it, and he has this epiphany. By the way, the official dictionary definition of a narcissist is this. It is in addition to seeking praise, a narcissist exhibits a complete lack of empathy, manipulation to get attention, and an inflated sense of their own importance. That's the dictionary definition of a narcissist. Father God certainly does not lack empathy for us. He's not manipulating us to get attention. He doesn't need our attention. And I don't think he could possibly inflate the sense of his own importance. I think it would be impossible to do that. But that's the definition. Now, C.S. Lewis then he puts this in such a way that I just love. Again, I love it so much. I'm just gonna share the whole thing with you. It goes like this. The most obvious fact about praise, whether of God or anything, strangely escaped me. I thought of it in terms of a compliment or approval or the giving of honor. I had never noticed that all enjoyment spontaneously overflows into praise, unless, sometimes even if, shyness or the fear of boring others is deliberately brought in to check it. The world rings with praise. Lovers praising their mistresses, readers their favorite poet, walkers praising the countryside, players praising their favorite game, praise of weather, of wine, of dishes, or actors, or motors, or horses, or colleges, or countries, or historical personages, children, or flowers, mountains, rare stamps, rare beetles, and even sometimes politicians or scholars. I had not noticed either that just as men spontaneously praise whatever they value, so they spontaneously urge us to join them in praising it. Isn't she lovely? Wasn't it glorious? Don't you think that's magnificent? The psalmists, in telling everyone to praise God, are doing what all men do when they speak of what they care about. My whole more general difficulty about the praise of God depended on my absurdly denying to us, as regards the supremely valuable, what we delight to do, what indeed we can't help doing about everything else we value. Then he says, here's the nub of the matter, meaning right to the heart of the matter. And this I did put on screen. I think we delight to praise what we enjoy, because the praise not merely expresses, but completes the enjoyment. It is its appointed consummation. It's not out of compliment that lovers keep telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete until it is expressed. That last part, the delight is incomplete until it is expressed. You find a good restaurant, you want to tell people about it. In our culture, you find a good restaurant, a nice sunset, a nice flower, a beautiful hike, you are immediately telling people about it, or you're posting it on social media, telling everybody how amazing this thing is. We want to share this amazing thing we found, because until we do that, and then what are you waiting for? You're waiting for people to respond back, right? Saying, I love that too, or that sounds great, I would love that too. But how many times do we do that just with our Father God? Just post, my God is amazing. I love him with all of my heart, and I wish you would too. We don't often praise God in that way, but we naturally do it with everything else. And we're not afraid or ashamed to do that. I found a great pair of shoes. I'm going to put them on social media for everybody that I know to see how I feel about this pair of shoes. We all naturally do it. But when it comes down to praising God or expressing openly our praise for God, somehow we have this hitch to where we just can't do it. Now, not everybody. Some people have no problem doing that. But we should all do it because it's natural. And if it's a natural thing for humans to do, if it's natural for us to praise a good meal or a beautiful sunset or the person that we love here on earth, what is it that stops us from taking that step to praise God so openly and so effusively? If it's in our nature to do it otherwise, it's got to be demonic. It's got to be Satan stopping us and saying, don't do that. Somebody will make fun of you. Don't do that. He doesn't stop you from clicking your finger. He can't do that. But what he can do is tell you all your friends are going to think you're one of them. People are going to start unfollowing you. Nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants you pushing your Jesus on them. We push everything else on them. Literally everything else in our lives, we have no problem telling everybody else. I'll tell random people in the shopping line at Costco, have you had this kind of bread? This is the best bread. We have no problem doing that kind of thing. But when it comes to praising God like that, we don't. But until we express that praise outwardly, it's incomplete. Praising God just does something good for our soul. It does something good for your soul to acknowledge and realize that there is something outside of you. This entire world is not your responsibility. What happens in this whole world is not your responsibility. That is our sovereign God. And to praise him does something good for us. Luke 6:45 says, "The good person out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. And the evil person out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart." So I'm going to make an opportunity now to let our hearts speak. And I know we have about a third of what we would normally have in here. But if you're out there online, you can join us in this too. I want to take several minutes here and just praise God. I want to praise God, but I want you to do it. I don't want you to just sit there and listen to me as I do it. So I'm going to open up the mic. It's already turned on. I'm going to unmute it. And I would like volunteers just to come up, just one at a time. Just come up and just say a praise of God into the microphone. And what we're doing here, we're doing two things. We're praising God, which is a good thing for all of us to do. And we're also modeling to others, whether it's out there online or other people in here. It's not that hard. Just get up and do it, okay? It's very simple. And again, from last week, King David said it very, very well. In Psalm 51, he said, "Lord, open my lips so that my mouth may declare your praise." So if you're sitting in here right now or you're out there online and you're like, "I just don't feel like I can do that. I'm shy. I don't want to do it." Just pray that prayer with me really quick. Psalm, "Lord, open my lips so that my mouth may declare your praise." So with that, I'm going to open up the mic right now and we're just going to take a few minutes, okay, to just praise him. Again, "Lord, open my lips so that I may declare your praise." Whoever is bold enough to come up and be the first, go right ahead.
As a congregation, we pray before the service every day or every Sunday, and we would really love to have you come and join us. But this is how we started our prayers. It's Psalm 103, and it's only the first six verses. "Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. And he does that every day in my life."
I know it might be awkward for some coming up to do it on the mic, but that way the people in the live
stream. It's pretty awkward, but I thank you, Heavenly Father, for everything that you've done for not only me, but for this world. Here's this one chapter that I love, and it goes, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. God sent a man whose name was John, and he came to bear witness of the true light, the light to every man and woman that comes into this world." So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for having mercy upon us and giving us a chance to have everything, because with you, we have everything.
Amen. Amen.
going to cheat and use the words of the psalmist. This is Psalm 149. It is so difficult to do adoration because we're so used to thanking. And praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the godly ones. Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the sons of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing. Let them sing praises to him with timbrel and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people.
Father God, I just come before you to say thank you, Lord. You are my provider. You are my strength. You are my peace. You have brought all those things into my life and continue to do so. I know I could not do half of what you want us to do without you, Lord. And I praise you for giving us that strength and giving us all of you. And it's so simple for us to say thank you and praise you and bask in your glory, Lord. Amen.
Lord, I praise you for who you made me, for what I am, and for what you blessed me with. I praise you for all the blessings in my life, for the strength, your strength and endurance, and for your strength to help me endure things in my life, but for being with me through everything in my life. You've been my health, my strength, my refuge, my supporter, basically my father. You made me, Lord, and you knew before I was born, and I praise you for not abandoning me, but for always being there for me, no matter what comes my way. And I thank you for that, Father. And I love you so much, God, that I can't imagine life without you. Amen.
Any more?
Well, I praise the Lord. I praise you, Lord, because when I do, I have a better day. When I start with adoration of you, you give back to me. You are amazing, God. And I thank you for that I can have a better day just by adoring you, and you bring it to me. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Hey, Tom, are we going to do What a Beautiful Name?
Yes.
Is that the first one up?
It's the second one
up. I'm just standing here listening to the praise prayers. Just glancing down at the chart here. The words for What a Beautiful Name, also Agnes Day. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. And then you have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. When we get to the point where we're doing worship, which we'll be doing very shortly here, do more than just listen to the melody and the voice. It's all very beautiful to listen to, but let the words. Pastor Tom is, more than any worship pastor I have ever known, very prayerfully chooses the songs that we're going to play. It's not just like, well, let's just do our top 10. He very prayerfully chooses them, and it's uncanny. We don't talk about it ahead of time, but it's uncanny what the Lord does, lining up the songs with the message and with the topic that we're going to be talking about. The Lord knows what we need before we need it. So listen to those words as we play. I'm going to close us in prayer right now. And after I do that, we'll take communion. I want to introduce communion first, and then we'll go into prayer. For communion, the way that we do it here, if you're new or you've never done it before, we will have, with this group, we'll probably just have one station right up front here. And we'll have bread and gluten-free crackers, and then we have a cup of wine. And the cup of wine represents the blood of Christ. And then the bread is the body of Christ, broken for you. And you don't have to be a member of this church. You don't have to have gone through a class or anything like that. But you do need to be able to say, thank you, Lord, for being my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for giving it on the cross for me, for sacrificing yourself for me. If you can say those things, then we invite you to take communion with us. We'll just line up in the middle and come down, and we'll take it right here as the worship team plays on. We also have self-serve in the back, which is just juice back there, if you'd like to do that. But again, what a better way to just praise him than to celebrate and to partake in what he gave for us, his son, Christ. So would you just pray with me? Father, we praise you. We are in awe of your grace and your mercy and how much you love us. You didn't need us, but you didn't want a world without us. So, Lord, we are so thankful that you care about each and every one of us. You care more about us than we care about ourselves. So, Lord, we praise you today. We praise you just for who you are. You are sovereign. You are the creator of the heavens and earth. You are the king of all that ever was. So, Lord, we lift this day up to you. We lift our hearts up to you in praise. God, you are wonderful. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys.